Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, helping you jumpstart your career in financial services. As always, I'm bringing to you fresh ideas from a recently aired video on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Do me a favor, my friend, and text me at 214-699-7599 with any questions you might have from this show so I can help you along your journey in becoming a successful financial professional. Again, that number is 214-699-7599. All right, let's hop into today's topic. As a career changer, entering a new industry can be very daunting. That's why in this video, I'm going to show you the exact steps that you need to take in order to enter the financial services industry. What is up, everybody? Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, and I'm so excited. It's a new month, it's March, and I am really, really happy about this particular series that we're about to start. I don't normally do series, but this is something that I really wanted to do. I ran a poll on the YouTube channel. I'm on so many different places, I can't always remember, but I ran a poll on YouTube and I wanted to know the number one thing people were struggling with when it came to entering the financial services industry. And what had really won out on that poll is getting the experience, you know? Like, what do you need to do? How do you need to do it? What steps are, you know, necessary? What steps are optional? So I really wanted to tackle that. And that's what we're going to do for the whole month of March. And we're going to do it sequentially. It's going to be really fun. And I want to hop right into it. So just so you know how this is going to go over the next few weeks, we'll start today with deciding your route, right? You got to know which path to go down. And we'll unpack that today. You've got to find a mentor. You have to have a guide on this journey. I like to call them a Yoda. Sometimes it helps to try before you buy, right? There's ways that you can kind of get your feet wet, dip your toe in. As Ash Exantis, my friend, says, date financial services first. And then last but not least, you got to put a plan together. So I hope you stick with me. Let's talk about deciding on your route. So at this point in time that I'm recording this podcast or this video for you, there are somewhere around 300,000 or more financial advisors, 300,000 plus, let's call it. So Cerulean Associates does this study. As a matter of fact, I'll have a couple of links down below. By the way, if you would just download my 10 tips guide, you would get all this information. So I'll have that link down below also. But the point is, there are tons of hats, tons of titles, tons of ways to get into this industry. And so that number is really, really large. But at the end of the day, it boils down to really a very simple thing. Do you charge for financial advice and investment advice? Let's clarify that. Investment advice is what the rule is around. Financial advice is the more generic term. So if you charge for investment advice, or if you don't charge for investment advice, the regulators and the industry looks at you one or two ways. If you charge for investment advice, you're essentially a financial advisor, a financial planner, and you have to be regulated. And that is the more traditional route. But if you do not charge for investment advice, you can then be what is called maybe a financial counselor or a financial coach, and you're not regulated. So I want to unpack either one of those paths, because one of those paths might be better for you depending on your skill set, how you've been trained, how you've been brought up, how you even think about money. And when you start to think about the relationship that people have with their money, if you're gonna be working with them, it helps to know which one you're gonna lean towards. So let's unpack both of them. Now, for the more traditional route, like I said, financial advisor, person that charges for investment advice, there's a typical track, right? First, you're gonna take a series of exams that we've talked about before. I'll make sure I link those up in the cards. You'll take the SIE, you'll take probably the 7 or the 6, and you'll take the 63, 65, or 66. So you'll have those exams, and those make you a financial advisor by all intents and purposes. No matter how much experience you do or don't have, that's what the regulation says, that you are now a financial advisor. Now, you're most likely be working under somebody at this point. You may be an IAR, which is an investment advisor representative, which is what you see usually in a broker-dealer frame or independent channel frame. I've talked about the different channels on this channel. I've talked about the different ways into the industry on this channel, so I'll make sure I link that up in the cards also. But as a IAR, as a registered representative of a broker-dealer, whatever your title is, you are now able to go out and solicit business on the behalf of some financial institution. And so that is what makes you essentially a financial advisor, or what people or clients, consumers of financial services would dub you as a financial services representative or someone that is a financial advisor. Hey there, podcast listener. Are you a member of the Jumpstart community? Jumpstart is a collective of like-minded, aspiring financial professionals that are looking to do what it takes to enter the industry. There's a virtual mentorship Facebook group, a weekly email with tons of helpful tips and strategies, and so much more. If you're listening to this podcast, I know you'd be interested in the Jumpstart community. To join, make sure you text JUMP to 474747 to start receiving all that great content. Again, that's JUMP or the word jump to 474747. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Now, what you may also see during this traditional path is that you get paired up with somebody like a financial institution, like a JP Morgan, a Merrill Lynch, there's so many of them, that will train you on how to do this thing. They'll help you pass your tests. They'll give you the material. They'll train you. They'll, you know, sometimes subsidize that while they're paying for you. And this usually is like a 6 to 9 month process. Usually after 6 or 9 months, they want you to pass those exams. Otherwise, you got to go find something else to do. So that training program is really the foundation for how you will proceed next, which is probably some type of entry level position where you may be learning the business, maybe interacting with clients. Hopefully you're paired with someone that's a little bit more senior so they can start teaching you all the different elements of this job and what it really means to be a financial advisor. You're probably also gonna have a lot of instances where you start interacting with products and services. Maybe the firm you work for has some proprietary products that they sell, mutual funds, life insurance, what have you, that you'll learn how consumers of financial services interact with those. So you're gonna be doing a lot of training and learning. I hope you're getting that theme. You're learning a lot right now. There's not a lot necessarily for you to go do. Now, some instances, which I don't necessarily advise, will throw you straight to the wolves and get you out there, you know, trying to find clients and build a book of business. Maybe that works for you, maybe it doesn't, but I'm just letting you know, if you go down the traditional path, you may find those opportunities. And depending on how you're made up and how you're wired, that probably will be very uncomfortable, especially if you're a career changer and you're leaving a job where you've got consistent income and now you've got something that's 100% commission. That may not be the best route for you. But if you can get a pretty normal career path, a career glide path, as I like to call it, you may find advisors that start supplementing their information or their training and their education part with different things, maybe like a CFP designation or one of the other well-known designations that will allow them to deepen their knowledge and further help clients with whatever financial problems that they have. Now, that's the financial advisor traditional route. And I know I went through a lot and you might still have questions. So I would advise that you look down below. There will be a link to a page that will invite you to the Jumpstart community where aspiring and current financial professionals are constantly sharing knowledge to help you on this journey. Let's move on to the non-traditional route. Now, this is going on my second decade in the industry. And what I've seen in the last 5 to 7 years is a growing number of financial professionals, and I want to be clear, they are financial professionals that specialize in debt repair or credit repair rather, debt management, financial coaching, things of this nature. And what I would say is a lot of people really need this cash flow, you know, money management, you know, credit repair, things of that nature before they get to a financial advisor, because let's be frank, most instances will be financial advisors, traditionally speaking, have minimums and things of that nature that don't fit some of the clients you want to work with. So financial coaching, which is non-traditional from that aspect and is not currently regulated, meaning that if you become a financial coach, there's not a set of tests or anything that you necessarily need to take. Now, obviously, you can go after certain designations like the CFEI or the AFC. I'll have links to all those down below so you'll know what that means. I don't want to be using jargon unnecessarily with you, but for the sake of time, I want to kind of go through these. And you can become a financial coach. You can become a financial counselor, and you can help people with those things that we named before. And that might be a better route for you to go, because it's very likely, like I said, that a consumer of financial services is probably ready for a financial coach before a financial advisor, especially if they're just starting out. Maybe they just got out of school, they have student loan debt, maybe they're just growing a family, and they have a lot of other things, and one of those things is not disposable income to invest, besides maybe their 401k. So there's a lot of areas in which a financial coach can actually help somebody that is in that particular phase of life. What I also want to mention that is often overlooked is that financial coaching could be an excellent way for you to get the experience, get your feet wet, and start to work with clients. And you know, if you want to eventually switch over to the traditional route, maybe a CFP, you'll probably already have the experience or be very, very far down the road to the experience requirement, which is 6,000 hours, which is normally, you know, probably 3 years, somewhere between 2 and 3 years of your life that you'll have to dedicate to having the experience of working with clients before you use the CFP marks. So that's something to kind of think about. Now, before I go, I just want to briefly mention that I've put a lot of this resources really succinctly in a packaged course called How to Jumpstart Your Financial Services Career. It may be something that you're interested in. I would love for you to check it out. It's on the same page that the Facebook invitation is on. Just scroll down a bit and you can enroll in a free preview. If you'd like to check out some more videos on either the traditional route or the non-traditional route, make sure you check out this playlist right here. If this was helpful for you, please give it a like, share, or comment. I would love for you to join the Jumpstart community, so make sure you check down in the show notes for all those resources. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what? I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. Feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend, it would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it, and it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.